2 Timothy chapter 2. I'd like for all of our veterans, if you wouldn't mind to stand for just a moment, all of our veterans, if you have served in the military in any way, shape, or form, I wanted to have you stand just for a moment and let you know that you're in a church that does not want to take you for granted. And we appreciate your service. God bless you for what you've done. The Lord has used folks such as yourself to help keep this land free. And we do not need to take that for granted. So we honor the Lord through you today. And we give Him praise for what He's done. And we give you honor for what you've done as well. I think it'd be very, very, very appropriate for this church to give them a nice round of applause, okay? God bless you. You can be seated. As we well know, freedom is not free, right? It is not free. I had something else that I was preparing to preach this morning, and the Lord just laid on my heart about this weekend that has to do with veterans. And just the idea of being a soldier. And the Lord has laid this direction on my heart in place of the other direction. So God willing, I'll preach that tonight, okay? Asking the Lord to touch it and breathe upon it. Simple thoughts this morning. Thoughts that can help us, encourage us, but nothing new under the sun. It's not going to be, I didn't know that, you know? Any preacher gets up and says, you've never heard this before, then you better get up and leave, all right? All those kind of things. 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse number 3 and verse number 4. Thou therefore endure hardness, here it is, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If you mark your Bible, I want you to notice the last phrase in verse number 3. It's the phrase, a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No doubt we've had some good soldiers standing here, these dear veterans who have served our country so very well. And while it's a good thing to be known as a good soldier of the United States of America, it is a wonderful thing to be known as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And today I want to preach to you on that subject, on being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for the privilege of being here. And as you've brought us to this hour, I pray that you'll calm our hearts, speak to our hearts, challenge us from the Word of God, and may your will be done. Simple thoughts from your Word, Lord, that I pray the Holy Spirit of God will drive them home. Speak to us in a clear voice in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, within the pages of God's precious Word, the Lord brings out many names for His children. And one of these names that He identifies us as is this one that we're studying here in this particular sermon. It's the name of soldier. Now, soldier is one who's been enlisted. He's a member of an army. And you know, a Christian has been enlisted in the army of the Lord at the very moment that they receive the Lord Jesus Christ into their heart and into their life. As soon as you said yes to Jesus, He enlisted you as one of His soldiers. But we see here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, that the Lord desires for His children, all of us are soldiers who are saved, but He desires for His children to go a step further. He wants His children not just to be known as soldiers, but He wants us to be known as good soldiers. You know, the word good here means valuable. It means virtuous. It means worthy. It means better. It means meet. You know, just because somebody's enlisted does not mean that they're going to be a good soldier. Do you understand that? I guarantee you some of these veterans understand what I just said. Just because somebody's in the army doesn't mean they're a valuable soldier. It doesn't mean they're a good soldier, a virtuous soldier, a worthy soldier, a, a better soldier, a meat soldier. But in this message, we're looking at this phrase, that the Lord desires for His soldiers to be good ones. And I want to ask you a question. Are you a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Now, there are three simple things. I'm just going to tie myself down here in just a few other passages of Scripture. I'm going to tie myself down mainly here to these two verses and bring out three things about a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And where I'm going today is, may God raise up good soldiers of Jesus Christ from this local assembly here. Thank God I'm a soldier. That means I'm saved. That means I'm born again. That means I know the Lord. And if you've been saved, you're born again, you know the Lord, you too are a soldier. Thank God for being a soldier in the Lord's army. But God wants us to be good soldiers. And today I want to give you three things that a good soldier is summarized by. Number one, we notice first of all a good soldier's cause. We notice his cause. This is found in verse number 4. Notice this. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Notice this now. Here's his cause. That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You know, a good soldier of Jesus Christ, their cause is onefold and onefold only. And it is to please his commander. Roman soldiers, back in this day, Roman soldiers were not allowed to marry. They weren't even allowed to engage in husbandry or any kind of trade. They were forbidden as tutors to any person or curators to any man's estate. See, all was thought to divert their minds from that which was to be their sole object of pursuit. And that sole object of pursuit was to make themselves approved unto their commander. Now think about that. Roman soldiers not even allowed to marry. Not even allowed to farm and help other people as tutors or look over other people's estate, because they didn't want anything to divert their mind from pleasing their commander. The Roman soldier's will was to be absorbed in the will of his commander. His purpose was what was accomplished if he meets his commander's approval. Now get this, the whole army was to be of one mind, one heart, and one purpose. And that was the mind, the heart, and the purpose of their commander. That's what it was. In other words, the soldiers were to have no separate will of their own. Their will was to be their commander's will. Their heart was to be their commander's heart. Their purpose was to be their commander's purpose. May I say this to you? Can we not learn from the Roman army? Can we not apply that to our own spiritual battles that we fight? It is to be the same in the Lord's army. We are not to be in this life to please ourselves, but we're to be in this life to please our commander-in-chief. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. A good soldier's cause is not to pursue his own plans. It's not to do his own thing. It's not to have his own will, have his own purpose, have his own heart. No, but his cause is to pursue God's plans, to have God's will, to have God's heart, and to please God more than anything on planet Earth. You know, this is such a simple thought this morning, but yet is this not where we get in trouble? Do we not fall short when we forget our cause for being alive? See, our cause in this life is to please our commander. Everything we do should be done out of a heart to please him. The music we listen to, how we dress, how we talk, how we treat our spouses, how we raise our children, how we live our life on the job, off the job, how we treat our employees, how we treat our bosses. Everything that we do, it should have one purpose. And that one purpose is this same cause that a good soldier has. And that cause is that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you really pleasing the Lord with how you're living your life? is all you're concerned with the smile of God? Is that all you're concerned with? I'm reminded, and I'm going to bring this up in a later sermon that I'm studying through the books of the Bible. Mrs. Lashley made a great statement. I'm paraphrasing her statement, so it may change a little bit when I have it right in front of me, but you'll get the basic gist of it. Talking about the house of God, she said this. I'm paraphrasing. I would rather worship in a barn and have the smile of God than worship in a cathedral and God's presence is not there. There's nothing wrong with having beautiful buildings. There's nothing wrong with having a beautiful life. But friends, this is where the rubber meets the road. Our call should be onefold in everything we do. See, as I've said before, maybe you've not been here to hear this, but God has really simplified life. He really has. See, life is not made up of trying to please everybody. And life is not made up of what does he want me to do or she want me to do or what am I supposed to do here, what am I supposed to do there, or look at all these things that I've got to make decisions on. Listen, that's how the devil works. He tries to get your mind bombarded. Hey, look at all this stuff you've got to do. What am I going to do about that and that and that? Listen, friends, life is about one thing. It's about pleasing the Lord. That's it. That's it. Let's just push everything off the table. Let's put it down where the rubber meets the road. Let's put it on the bottom level where everybody can get it. Let's make it to where you can't misunderstand it. Life is about pleasing God, period. That's it. That's it. Everything in life should center around this cause right here. There are marriages, no doubt, struggling. In a crowd, this, I know the problem. Some of you are saying, I know it too. I'm living with it. No, the problem is one or both are not pleasing God. Amen. You mark it down, friends. You mark it down. Somebody is displeasing God. Mark it down. Because life is made of this cause, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. Number one, a good soldier's cause. I like what Hebrews 11:5 says, talking about Enoch. It says, Enoch, before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Isn't that a great way to be remembered? I mean, it says, Enoch, before he was taken to heaven, here's his testimony. He just pleased God. May we leave today and say, God, just help me please you. It makes no difference what it is. Just help me please you in this. Help me please you in this. Help me to obey you in this. May you be pleased with me in this. I'm telling you, that's a good soldier's cause. Number two, we notice a good soldier's characteristics. Now, hold your place here. We'll be flipping back and forth a little. Flip back to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. You're in 2 Timothy 2. Just flip back a couple of pages or so to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I give you in verses 11 and 12 a three-point outline. I like it when the Word of God just outlines itself. And it's alliterated. I like that. That means it all starts with the same letter. You want to know what a good soldier does? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. But thou, old man of God, he's talking to a soldier here. Old man of God, here it is, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now there are three F's in those two verses, and these are the characteristics of a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Number one, what is it that sets apart a soldier, just a normal soldier, from a good soldier? What does a good soldier do? Well, first of all, he flees. Not he has flees, but he flees, okay? He flees. The Word of God says in verse number 11, flee these things. Now we're going to do a little bit of a Bible study here just to show you where I'm going with this. Any good soldier knows. I'm talking about any good soldier. in like the American Army or any other army, any good soldier knows that there are some things in conflict that you stay away from. Amen. There's some, listen, it doesn't take a man to get himself blown up when he knows better. Now, there are people who get blown up. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying, if you know that right there is a bomb, you don't say, hey, let me play with that. Come on, friends. There are some things that a good soldier will stay away from. He flees. Now, let me help our understanding here a little bit as we just do a little bit of a Bible study here. When you think of fleeing, you think of running away, right? That's part of it. Let me give you a couple of thoughts here. First of all, under this, he flees. Number one, a good soldier, Jesus Christ, he will flee from some things. He'll flee away from some things. There are some things a good soldier will run from and stay away from. Verse number 4 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, our text says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. You know what the word entangleth means? It means entwined or be involved with. It's almost like an insect that flies into a spider's web and now it's entangled in it. It's entwined in it. It's involved with it. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. You know what the word affairs means of this life? It means transactions and negotiations. Let me ask you a question. Does this world try to negotiate with you? Yes or no? Sure. Does this world try to make transactions with you? Just try that. Just do that. They'll try to negotiate with you. Hey, everybody's doing it. Hey, don't be a fuddy-duddy, whatever that is. Don't stick out like a sore thumb. Just go ahead and help yourself. Hey, a good soldier does not entangle himself with stuff like that. He flees from some things. Now, you're in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's just stay in that part of the Word of God here for just a moment. Look at chapter 6, verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 4. He is proud, knowing nothing, doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. Notice this now. From such, what's that word? Withdraw thyself. So he stays away from pride, and he stays away from strife and envy and railings and evil surmisings and perverse disputings. He stays away from people who are just destitute of the truth. He flees from some things. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. Just stay with me. Look at verse number 9, same chapter. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. He flees the love of money. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 says, flee fornication. 1 Corinthians 10, 14 says, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Here's where I'm going. A good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, his cause is to please his commander. His characteristics, he flees. Number one, under that, he flees from some things. And when you put all this together, the evil surmisings, the envy, the strife, all of these different kinds, the love of money, all these different, fornication, idolatry, you put all that together, here's what a good soldier of Jesus Christ does. He flees from sin. That's what he does. If it displeases his heavenly commander, he is running away from it. That's what a good soldier does. The Bible says in Genesis 39, 12, and she called him by his garment, saying, lie with me, talking about Joseph. Remember when Potiphar's wife tried to get him to commit an adulterous relationship with her? She called him by his garment, saying, lie with me, get this, and he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Let me ask you a question. Was Joseph a godly man, yes or no? Was Joseph a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Yes. Let me tell you one reason he was. Because he knew when to flee. He knew when to stay away from something. He knew when to run away from it. So number one, under this first characteristic, a good soldier flees. He flees from some things. But number two, under this, he flees to someone. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Psalm 143:9 says, "Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me." See, a good soldier not only runs away from the danger, he runs to safety. He runs to where it can't get him. He runs to the place where that cannot sink him. And may I say this to you? This is true Bible separation. See, there's a lot of people who just focus on what you should not do. Stay away from that, from that, from that, from that, from that. Listen to me, please. True Bible separation is always from the world unto the Lord. It is always from the world to the Lord. See, you can't be neutral. See, this world's going to try to negotiate with you. Don't entangle with it. It's going to try to make some transactions with you. And the whole time, it's trying to get you to be like it, to be conformed to the world. But a good soldier recognizes that. No matter what kind of a front it comes in, he sees that. That's displeasing to my commander. That's not right. That's dangerous. That's trying to sink me. So they will run from that, but they don't just run out in an open field. They run to the Lord. Friends, a good soldier flees. He runs from the world to the Lord. Number two, in our text there in 1 Timothy chapter 6, he not only flees, but number two, he follows. The Bible says this, verse 11, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things," notice this, "and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." May I say this to you? That here the Word of God not only says that a good soldier, a soldier that knows what he's doing, a soldier that's worthy, that's meet, that's valuable, that's virtuous, he not only knows what to flee from and who to flee to, but he also knows what to follow. He'll follow the right thing. Now, in battle, which I've never been in a literal war for our country, but I know this, there are ranks. And there are leaders. There are those who are out in front. And there are those who are to follow. And I'm going to tell you something. A lot rides on who's out in front. Amen or not. A lot. Now the Word of God says this. The man of God not only flees these ungodly things, but he follows righteousness. He follows godliness. Faith. Love. Patience, meekness. May I say this to you? Look beyond what I just read. I share with you that a good soldier follows the right person. Who is righteous? Who is godliness? Who is patient? Who is love? Who is meek? May I say this to you? The Word of God says in Ephesians 5:1, "Be ye followers of God." 1 Peter 2:21, "Christ also suffered for us, leaving his example that we should follow his steps." Matthew 4:19, Jesus said, "Follow me." A good soldier follows the right person. And when he follows the Lord, when he follows the Lord Jesus Christ, he will be following these things that summarize the Lord. That's why 1 Timothy 6:11 says, "Follow after righteousness," because that's who God is. You follow after godliness because that's who God is. You follow after faith because that's who God is. You follow after love, patience, meekness, because that's who God is. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, "Follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace." 3 John verse 11 says, "Follow not that which is evil, but that which is good." May I say this to you? Listen to me, please. Everybody follows somebody. Everybody follows somebody. There is nobody leading themselves. You're following somebody. You're either following righteousness, faith, meekness, godliness, peace, or you're following worldliness, carnality, lust, wickedness. You can't follow two people at the same time. If one goes that way and one goes that way, you have to choose. Isn't this deep preaching this morning? It's deep, isn't it? Come on. It's simple, isn't it? There are two pathways and two people trying to lead you. Who are you following? You show me somebody who's envious, I show you somebody following the wrong person. Show me somebody who's lustful, I show you somebody who's following the wrong person. Yet you show me somebody who's righteous and godly, and I show you somebody who's following the right person. Number one, a good soldier of Jesus Christ flees. He flees from wickedness to the Lord. He follows the right person. He follows Christ. And by following Christ, he's going to be summarized by righteousness and peace. And let me ask you a question. How's your home? Is it peaceful? Is there peace there? How's your life? Are you at peace? Or is it strife, turmoil, wickedness, evil? What is it? A good soldier follows the right person. Then number three, he not only flees and follows, but number three, he fights. We see this in verse number 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. You know what this tells me? Some people are fighting for something that's not good, right? See, the Word of God says fight the good fight of faith. You know what that tells me? There's a good fight and there's a bad one. Which one are you fighting? By the way, fooey on Christians fighting one another. Amen, friends. Amen. Just because a church doesn't cross its T the way we do, just because a church doesn't dot its I the way that we dot our I, if they're trying to be faithful to God's word, they're winning souls to Christ, they are not perverting the truth, God bless them like he blesses us. Stop fighting one another. Amen. The good fight of faith is fighting for the Lord Jesus Christ, standing against sin, standing against the devil. See, the devil's a mastermind. I'm not praising him, I'm exposing him. He's a mastermind at trying to turn the body against itself. Attack itself, attack itself, attack itself, attack itself. I've got news for us. Baptists are not the only ones going to be in heaven. Amen. Amen. There's some people who try to teach Baptists are the only people going to be in heaven. Hey, we're independent fundamental Baptists. I'm a Baptist through and through, but I'm not the only one going to be in heaven. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a Baptist. I'm going to heaven because I've chosen the good fight, my friends. It's time we understand that the battle is out there, not in here. Let's stop fighting one another and let's fight the good fight of faith. Let's fight the devil. Let's stand against sin, stand against wickedness, come together united and go forward for the glory of God. You shouldn't get me riled up like that, friends. My friends, we're on a battlefield. The Bible teaches us in our text in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, it uses the word warreth. No man that warreth, that word warreth means serve in a military campaign. It means contend with carnal inclinations. We are on a battlefield. This is not a playground. 1 Timothy 1:18 says, war a good warfare. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Yes, there's a time to flee. Amen. And a good soldier knows when that time is. Yes, there's a time to follow. And a good soldier knows when that time is. But there is also a time to fight. And a good soldier knows when that time is too. May I remind you, in this battle, we cannot see our opponent. It's a spiritual battle. Therefore, we must fight spiritually. That's why 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Don't you wish sometimes, maybe we don't, but where you could see who you're fighting against and get a hold of them? I'd like to put my hand around her neck. We're warring against principalities and powers of the air, my friends. You can't see them. It's a spiritual battle. And if you're going to fight this battle, you must fight it spiritually. We're to fight with God's word in our hand and God's word in our heart and our eyes on the sky, on our heavenly commander. By the way, your family depends on it. I like a statement that I read. It was for Veterans Day, and I can't remember the exact thing, but here's what it said. I'm paraphrasing. You'll get the gist of it. It showed a soldier with his little boy's arms wrapping around him. And it made this statement. It said, a soldier does not hate who's in front of him, but he loves who's behind him. The emphasis is this. When soldiers are going around the world, leaving their country, leaving their families behind, and many of them paying the ultimate sacrifice, and some of them pull the trigger and take somebody else's life from another army. I hope, now I can't say this for everybody because I'm sure there's anger in soldiers, sure, but I'm talking about God's people understand what I'm trying to say here. They don't hate the person that they're fighting against. But they're willing to fight that person because they love the person they left behind. The devil hates you. The devil hates your marriage. The devil hates your children. He hates your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. He hates you. He hates America. He hates God. And I'm going to say this to you. I hate him. Amen. See, we have an advantage more than the American soldier does. They shouldn't hate that person, but we should hate the devil. Amen. But I'm going to tell you one reason we ought to fight with everything we've got. We ought to learn to flee when we should, follow when we should, fight when we should, because our family behind us, if he gets us, he gets my boy. He can't have my boy. He can't have my girls. But I will give my children to the devil unless I learn to flee, unless I learn to follow, unless I learn to fight the good fight of faith. Number one, we've noticed a good soldier of Jesus Christ's cause is to please his commander. That's it. It's one fold, that's it. Just please your commander. His characteristics, he flees. He knows when to run from something to the Lord. He follows the right person and therefore the right path, because if you follow Jesus, you're going to be like him, you see. And he knows when to fight, and he fights the good fight, not a bad fight. He fights the good one. It's the fight of good faith. And then we close with this thought. Back to our text in 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse number 3. We see a good soldier's command. Not only his cause, his characteristics, but his command. Look at verse number 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Does that look like a request or a command to you? That's a command. He's not asking us. He's commanding us. See, notice Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, told Timothy, he said, Timothy, if you're going to be a good soldier, you're going to have to endure hardness. You know what this carries the idea of? It means enduring afflictions. Put it this way. It's not easy being a soldier. In the Lord's army especially, it's not easy. But it's what God desires out of and for us. If we are to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, we must obey this command here to endure hardness. Now, most, if not all, those dear men that stood, and maybe some ladies, I'm not sure, who stood for veterans. Many of you, I know, have been separated from home. I cannot imagine leaving like some of you dear folks have left. It kills me when I go on a mission trip and be gone for 10 days. I can't hardly take it. I'm serious. I'm getting me back home to my wife, friends. Now, She might can take it, I'm not sure, but you know. Some of these dear men have left their spouses for 12, 18 months, sometimes longer. Don't tell me it's not hard. I've not experienced that, but I can only imagine. Soldiers separated from home, many times exposed to heat, exposed to cold, sometimes lack of food, sometimes in harm's way. And while some soldiers may call it quits, a good soldier never will. It may rip his heart out of his chest, but he's willing to be separated from his family. He may be extremely hot, but he's willing to endure that. And he endures coldness, and he endures sometimes lack of nutrition. And he endures the affliction of not knowing if the next step he takes is going to be something that could take his life. He strives to endure. Doesn't mean it's not hard. It doesn't mean he's got a smile on his face all the time. But he knows the reason he's there is worth it. Now, soldiers who've been away from home, am I telling it straight today? It's hard to be away from home. It's afflictions. And you can't wait to get back home. But on the hardest days, on the other side of the ocean, God may come to their mind and say, I know it's hard, but you're doing this for your wife. You're doing this for your children. And if you win this battle, you're loving them by being over here as much as you would be loving them if you were in the same home with them. All I'm saying to you is the battle we have to fight is worth it, friends. It is worth enduring afflictions so the devil doesn't get your children. Is this resonating with anybody? The battle is worth enduring afflictions so the devil doesn't get your marriage. So the devil doesn't get your home. It may be hard. It may be painful. It may rip your heart out of your chest. But you're still going to endure it because you know the battle is worth it. Now, while engaged in the service of their country in battle, farmers leave their plows. Mechanics leave their shops. Merchants leave their stores, and students leave their books. It's time for God's children to leave some things, friends, and report for duty and determine that from this point forward, I am going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, take this and use it, I pray. May your will be done. May your name be glorified. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let me go ahead and dismiss. I believe it's the three who are going to be baptized today. Let me go ahead and dismiss you now to find your place and those who are going with you. If you'll be dismissed now. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly as soon as they get prepared. Simple message today, yet one that can help us and change us and challenge us. Question number one is, are you in the army of the Lord? All of those who are born again, children of God, have been made soldiers of the cross. You are, if you're saved, you're a soldier. So the first question is this, is are you a soldier? Are you saved? Are you born again? Do you know the Lord? Have you say, Jody, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm born again. I know it. I don't hope so. I know so. I am on my way to heaven. Would you raise your hand? You know that. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Is there one today say, Jody, I'm not even a soldier because I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. And today the Holy Spirit of God is pricking my heart saying, I want to enlist you in my army. I want to save you. I want to change your life. Is there one today say, Jody, pray for me. I need to be saved. I need to trust Christ. Anybody like that, would you raise your hand? I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. I wouldn't do anything like that for the world. But you say, Jody, pray for me. I need to be saved. I need to trust Christ. Anybody at all like that, would you put your hand up, put it right back down? Anybody at all? Anybody at all? Let me ask you this question. You say, Jody, I'm a Christian. I'm a soldier. God is using this message to speak to my heart. This does not mean that you're not a good one. It could mean that you are a good soldier and the Holy Spirit of God is saying, keep going, keep doing it, don't stop. It may be hard, but don't quit. Have you say, Jody, I'm a soldier, but God is speaking to my heart in this message about being a good soldier, or remaining one, or becoming one. Somehow, some way, if God is using this in your life today, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Would you do that? Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hand down. We're going to pray, and Brother Gary is going to begin to sing, and I'm going to get prepared for the baptismal service. If God has spoken to your heart today, would you leave your place, and would you come? Father, would you take this thought and use it? May people respond, and may you be glorified and praised in everything that's said and done, I pray, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to sing. We're not standing, just remain seated. But as he sings, if God is speaking to you, would you leave your place now and would you come, please, as he sings.
Jesus, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back.
We have one announcement tonight, today, Men's Stakeout. And gentlemen, we want to really encourage you. Pastor's going to dismiss you right at the end of the service first so you can sign up. If you're like me, you're going to walk out the door and you're going to get home and say, ah, I forgot. So we're going to help you with that. Men, this is an event for you, and we hope that you'll come. We'd love to have 100 men there on Saturday night, 5 o'clock. It is this coming Saturday. I've got several special events going on. Of course, the cornhole tournament, we're going to have a shooting gallery, knife throwing. We need a volunteer to stand and catch the knives. And we're just going to have a great time, a fellowship, and good chance for you to invite unsaved, unchurched men to come. And so again, today's the deadline. Please sign up this morning, tonight. The Hayes will be in the lobby right after the service. You men come, for we'll receive the offering this morning. And again, right after the service, let me encourage you. Right now you're thinking about it. Keep it in mind. And we want you to sign up for the men's stakeout coming this Saturday. When you men get up here, Joe, lead us in prayer, please.
This is Angel Brown on your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. In obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk. This is Joshua Johnson upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus. In obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father and the Son and the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, and raised to walk. Stephen Coffey, upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk. Been done as the Lord Jesus Christ hath clearly commanded, and all God's people said. Amen. I hope you don't take for granted the baptism waters being used at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and especially, anybody
but especially when a child has trusted Christ and they're following the Lord in believer's baptism. That's a blessing, isn't it? Give the Lord the praise for it. A couple of things here. As we leave today, may we all leave saying, God, make me a good soldier, Jesus Christ. Help me to be a good one. And let me encourage every man here, every man, to get behind this men's stakeout on this coming Saturday. It's $10 for a ticket. If you don't have that money, let us know. You can come for nothing. That's not making anything. We're just trying to cover some of the cost, not all of it, just some of it. The purpose of this is to be a time of fellowship, but at the same time to give you something to invite another man to try to win them to Jesus Christ. I cannot encourage you enough to get behind this. As a matter of fact, if you're planning to go and you have not signed up yet, but you're planning to be there this coming Saturday, 5 to 8, I know in the bulletin it had both times. It had 5 to 8 and then 4 to 7. It's 5 to 8 now this Saturday at the fairgrounds. If you're a man, teenager and above, and you plan to go but you have not signed up yet, would you raise your hand if you're planning to do that? You have not signed up yet but you're planning to go? Okay, I'd like you to be dismissed now. Would you do that? And make your way out to the lobby so you don't get bottlenecked here. In the balcony down below. We'll do this again tonight. If you have not signed up yet and you're planning to go, please go do so now, okay? Brother Brad Griffin, sir, if you wouldn't mind to thank the Lord for the service, these baptisms, and be back tonight in the Lord's house at 6:30.